Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, July 18th, 2014. And with me today, I have the ever-exciting Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am great.
That's fantastic. And the equally stunning Dave Hamilton. I hope you're doing well, Dave.
I'm doing stunningly well.
Awesome. That's exactly as it should be. And it's Friday, so we have what I hope is a stunningly a relaxing weekend ahead for everyone.
Yeah. And this is the same group of us that were here yesterday, isn't it?
It is. But I introduced you in a different order, so it sounds like it's different people.
Well, that's what threw me off. That's why I had to ask the question.
Yeah. It totally worked.
What are our topics today?
Well, I thought we'd start off with this whole thing about Amazon launching Kindle Unlimited.
Part of Amazon's path to destroying the publishing industry.
You know,
don't hold back, Brian. How do you really feel?
Feel pretty strongly about this.
Okay. You know, here's the thing, though. It may be part of the result of Amazon's path to significantly change the publishing industry. But really, I don't think it's Amazon that's going to be the ones who decide that this change is happening. I think it's Amazon. I'm stopping to think if we need to explain the topic more before we get too deep into the esoteric discussion.
How about if I do that real quick?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
yeah.
So the deal is Amazon announced a new subscription service today called Kindle Unlimited. And for $9.99 a month, you get unlimited access to 600,000 ebooks. And so you can view those on your Kindle or in the Kindle app on any of the other platforms that Amazon is supporting.
So it's limited. I didn't catch this in our discussion about this in our morning meeting. It's limited to 600,000 titles.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting because that means that clearly the vast majority of published books aren't part of this. I'm wondering if how much of this is limited to things put through the Kindle's Amazon self-publishing platform.
Yeah, we'll have to dig into that. I mean, it's clear they want to move down this path, right?
And they're showing, like, if you go to the Kindle Unlimited webpage,
yep,
and you look at what they're showing as popular titles for the service, it's a lot of big name stuff.
Probably not brand new stuff.
No, not a lot of it's brand new. I wasn't paying that close of attention, but the titles that I remember just really jumping out at me was like the Harry Potter series, the Lord of the Rings series, Life of Pi, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, stuff like that.
Yeah. Which popular books.
Very popular books, but books that...
Okay, and those are definitely books that went through publishers. They're still through publishers.
That's correct. They're certainly not self-published. Even if we use that very, very limited example as kind of our metric on this, way better than what Netflix offered when they opened up streaming initially, too.
Interesting that it includes the Potter books.
I know.
Because, found that very interesting.
Because the J.K. Rowling Inc., whatever that is called, controls the Potter books like no other ebook can be controlled because they are so fantabulously popular.
Maybe her ebook sales aren't going as well as she had wanted, and
I doubt that.
But you know, so now that we know what this thing is, Brian, I don't think Amazon's goal is to destroy the publishing industry. I think what Amazon, and they may well. And when I say destroy, I mean change significantly, right? The end result of this may well be that, but I think the end result, regardless of what Amazon does, will be that. And Amazon is just trying to get ahead of the game, perhaps accelerating the path. But
Amazon's goal is clearly to devalue books. Every single thing that Amazon has done has been done with the intention of devaluing books and eliminating all profits from the industry so that Amazon is the only place that can sell books. This is true from both a publishing standpoint and from a retailing standpoint.
Yeah, I think the devalue part is a side effect of what they want, which is to control the market.
That's their path to control. It's not a side effect. It's the tool.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
But
yeah.
See, I think you're being – I don't think that's their goal. I think their goal is to be the first to be where society is going. Right. And they're going to deliver on what we all actually want. And I compare it to what we've seen in music.
Yeah, that's where I got my backup.
Yeah. Well,
so go ahead.
Well, because in music, right, there's a lot less money being made today on sales of content to do an apples to apples as best we can in the music business than there was a long time ago, not that long ago, right? 20 years ago and further back. Artists make their – artists have always mostly made their money touring, right? Some artists make a ton of money selling content, but for the most part, artists, even when there was a lot of money being made selling music, it was mostly being made by the publishing houses, and artists were making their money touring. Now, the reason they were able to attract people to the shows is because the labels were out there pushing the hit singles on radio and doing all the marketing and making a name for these acts, and then these acts could capitalize on that by going and touring. Nowadays, the labels don't make as much money from music sales because there's not as much money being paid. And so they do these 360 deals where the label and the artist are in together on everything, sales, touring, merchandise, right? The whole shooting match. So, I think that is a product. That is clearly a product of where we as a society kind of brought this. We had Napster, we had all this other stuff, and now we're down to selling singles on iTunes for, about a buck. I think the book industry and also the movie industry are going to get there. The movie industry has been pushing back on this so hard and slowing the process down to their own financial gain, and you can't really blame them for trying to do that, but we can, because they should just let it get there and figure out the right way to make money, and the first one that gets there is going to do better, right? And Amazon was not first on the music thing. Apple was, and Apple sort of won that battle. And Amazon has always had control over books. They have a very popular ebook platform with the Kindle, and I think they are petrified of Apple beating them to the punch with iBooks, and so they are racing to get to this, quote-unquote streaming book model, right, before anybody else does, and that's what this is. I think it's a defensive move to get there first. I mean, it's proactively defensive if you look at
the whole of everything that Amazon has done in the book industry, it has been to use price to limit competition. They've dumped bestsellers. I think this is one of the great things they did. They opened up a huge platform for people to self-publish. And that has become a very viable thing for many writers to do. But the entire path has been to erode the perceived value of books. And this is a massive step towards this. This is basically a big step saying that books are worth so little that you don't even, you're just going to give us $10 a month and, take whatever books you need.
Again, I think you're without calling Jeff Bezos and asking him, we won't get this answer. But I think your dislike for the path is causing you to view what Amazon is doing as an evil move, if you will, as opposed to a predictive move.
Well, it's actually more my quite considered perception of the end result that makes me perceive this as a bad move, not the other way around. It's not. I think this is a bad move, and so I'm projecting all sorts of negative things to it. It's because I thought about the end result, and I see negative things here. And that is that. Like, let's. The one of the reasons why I don't like the comparison to music is, first of all, author. There is no tradition of authors getting paid for appearances, and I don't ever see that flying in a million jillion years.
Now, that's not true. I mean, my wife goes and sees authors speak all the time and pays for tickets, and the authors get paid based on the attendance at the thing. They read passages from their books, they promote their books, and they get paid for this. And we need more of that, right? I mean, this is boo-hoo. If authors are going to make less money selling their books, boo-hoo, we make less money per page view at the Mac Observer today than we did when we started it 15 years ago.
Yeah, this is absolutely true. And my desire here, even as an aspiring fiction author, my goal isn't to protect the status quo with writers and or publishers. My goal is, as a reader, to have quality books.
You will always have quality books. Quality books will find their way out, and creative people, I guarantee you are not able to read the best book written, because the best book written is being written by someone that has no clue how to take the book that they wrote and get it to somewhere where you're going to notice it and hear about it and buy it and read it. What you are reading are the books that are best marketed, right, to you. Now, that might be a small channel, right? You might have a group of friends that knows about some niche market of books. I don't know, right? I mean, maybe you read mainstream books. Whatever it is, you are buying books that meet a minimum quality standard for you that you're aware of. And it's your awareness of them that defines what books exist. That's just logic, right?
Yeah, so that's
always going to happen. You're always going to find the people that figure out how to live in the world that in the system that exists, or define a new system that works. That's boo-hoo. It's not you and I as readers are not going to be negatively impacted long term.
I am categorically rejecting that argument.
You're categorically wrong.
I'm the
I shouldn't laugh. Books, I only encourage you.
Like for instance, the comparison to books and music, one of the great revolutions of music is the fact that more and more artists can reasonably produce great albums on their own. And in many ways, I think that a lot of self-produced albums are better than what would have happened if they'd gone through the label process, because so often, labels have their own agenda that they're wanting to project onto books, et cetera, to albums, et cetera, right? Especially, if you go back, a music producer's goal is often directly at odds with capturing the album that the band wants, right? And the reason why that doesn't apply to books is because the role of editors, both copy editors and line editors and story editors, is so much more important with books than it is with than the producer role in recording an album. And
oh, no. No way. I've heard self-produced albums, and I've heard albums produced by people that know what they're doing, and it sounds better, and you get better quality.
I'm not dissing great music producers. Great music producers are magicians for sure, but we're narrowing that gap. But when you put more and more emphasis on the author doing everything themselves, the results that we see are largely not good. I personally, the self-published books that I've read are not up to snuff in any way whatsoever. in terms of the quality of the editing, in terms of the quality of the story editing.
So what you're telling me is you like to read books from authors who are bad editors, but that doesn't mean all authors are bad editors. And what it likely means is authors who aren't good editors will not succeed going forward. I mean, I look at somebody like David Sparks, right? He's a lawyer, right? That's his day job. But in our world here, and certainly in terms of his public persona for his quote unquote audience, he's a podcaster, right? And a sometimes blog post writer. Actually, more than sometimes, he writes pretty regularly, and he writes for Macworld occasionally. Whatever. We should get him to write for us occasionally. He's a good writer. He has published at least three, maybe six. I don't know. He started publishing books for, I think, Peach Pit. It doesn't matter. He said, screw those guys. And now with iBooks Author, he writes the Mac Sparky Field Guides. He sells them directly on his own. And I have no specific knowledge of this, but I'm guessing he's going to be able to put his kids through college with the money he's earning there. Certainly make a dent in it. He's doing just fine with the Mac Sparky Field Guides. Writes them himself. Does he have other people edit them? Maybe. Maybe he has his wife read them. Maybe he has friends read them. He doesn't ask me to read them. He sends them to me after they're produced. But, whatever his process is, totally works for him. And he is self-publishing those books, and they're amazingly well-received. Now, they're not fiction, right? These are how-to books. So well done. He's got a good personality. And it's all feeding. You want to talk about the system. Authors don't have the ability to go out in public and speak. Well, David Sparks certainly does. He podcasts every week. He's making a bunch of money from that. He speaks at conferences where presumably he may get paid a speaking fee, right? He should. This is the new way. And boo-hoo to the people that can't do it that way. It's just a change of we're taking the publisher out of it. Great. Get rid of the publisher. Trim some of the fat from that system. Find people who are good at doing this.
My assumption is that you just haven't exposed yourself enough to the way the books get made. That because what you're saying, I mean, the idea that an author can ever successfully do everything that currently makes a book good very few people can do that. The best self-published books I have read still have problems. And I don't want to read books with problems.
That was true 15 years ago with regards to music.
Yeah, it's a different thing, man. It's an absolutely different thing.
Okay. We are totally out of time.
Awesome.
and this was fantastic because I just realized the new formula for the show. I say hi and sit back and let you guys go.
This is fun.
It was awesome. I absolutely loved this. But we really are out of time. So we'll have to do this again because I love how you guys both are just so passionate about the whole thing. So, Brian, thank you for living in the pit today, and Dave, you too. You guys both rock.
This is fun.
Yep.